if a son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to another Shabbat broadcast brought to you by the Social Change Action Network. This is the Hebrew Restoration Assembly. I am your host, LWV, and it truly is an increase and a blessing to be able to be with you on this day that the Most High made. The one true and only God. None others exist. They pale in comparison. His name is Ahaya Bahashem Yeshaya. All praises to the Most High and Ruach, Ruach. It is my prayer that you are increased today on this day that's set aside for the Kodesh, those that are called by his name. My prayer is that that is you. You are a part of the remnant that are called by his name. And we make sure that we honor him in our sacrifices and in our conduct, because that truly is the way to be considered to be Kodesh. I want to thank all of you for Wada, for having supported in the archives. I pray that the shows have been increased to you. I've been out for a while with some personal things taken care of. I want to thank Elder Andre for having kept the shows going and keep them in your prayers as he has some endeavors. He's going to come on for the second half of the show to give you some announcements and also to take us further with some teaching today on some topics that we want to cover according to the times that we are living in and where we are. Quam Yasharela, rise Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Ahayah, Bahashem, give him all praises. And it's time for us to rise up. There's a solidification process that's taking place. And I'm not mad at you because you're coming out and starting to ask questions, and that's what time it is. No longer will we participate in being the norm. But we are not the cult. Those that are in the cults of Christianity and religiosity are beginning to break out and come into the freedom that is known as Hebrew Israelite culture, following the statutes, the laws, and the commandments. All praises to the Most High. So we're coming towards the end of the year in the Gregorian calendar, as it pertains to that particular calendar. And I believe we have one more Shabbat left in the year after this particular day. By the way, welcome to the new world. I guess the world ended yesterday. So I want to take the time out to welcome all of you to this so-called new world. This world is so full of foolishness. With all the mayhem that goes around, we must understand that the whole earth has been turned over into the hands of the wicked, but we're coming towards the end of Esau, the Edomite's time. Welcome to the end of the Gentile world. So as we prepare to go into, as I mentioned, another Gregorian year, we plan on making some changes to the broadcast, reaching out, looking to have some different hosts that will be helping us to bring more knowledge and empower our people and change us socially so that we'll understand we are the people. We will continue talking about health because that is a serious battle. It's a serious battleground, serious at the forefront. Our people are just leaving here in droves. As they leave, they're leaving unclean. They're leaving unrighteous. They're leaving filled with abominations because they didn't get the message before they left. So we have to begin to start telling our people how to take care of the temple. The flesh is the temple, and the temple is the church. Not that pagan place that you go to on Sunday. Your body is the temple of the Ruach, the Chukmah, that is the church. We are, as they say in the Greek, ecclesia. And whenever we come together, the Most High Ahayah is in our presence, even us being together over the internet, the airwaves, the telephone. When we celebrate him, celebrate the laws and statutes, he's present. All praises to him being present. Because where he is, there's blessings, there's honor, there's protection. So as we go forth, we will continue. Elder Andre will announce what will be happening with his show when he comes on. And we will continue with Straight No Chaser, a show in the next coming year that will still be laced with truth, but it'll be more centered around truth about what's really happening to us as a people, as a world, as Israel. We want to start to begin to uncover the lies because we are living in an illusion, and it truly is the matrix. And so Straight No Chaser will just focus on truth, no longer just community and just ghetto stuff and things that are taking place are just what's happening now, but we want to begin to unmask that that's hidden. We want to unmask this wolf in sheep's clothing in every aspect. So look forward to that. And this particular Shabbat service will probably begin to broadcast at a later time, and there will be a different name. It will be more of a fellowship of Israel coming together. So just stay with us, but we thank you for all of your support and all that's been happening. I pray that you are fighting this very strong spirit known as Christmas, because this is a very seductive spirit. There's an allure that comes with the music, the songs, the people, the hypocrisy of giving and kindness, and this being kind and gentle season. There's a very strong hypocrisy. And everybody tends to kind of feel like they should be able to take a break during this time and not continue to stand for the Most High. Most High forbid. That is a lie. So that's why today we're going to talk about the particular statutes and laws. As we do in the Shabbat, we come together to go over the law, as our forefathers did when they went to the synagogue to hear the reading of the law through the scrolls, from the scrolls, and the priests we come together so we understand that there's over 600 and something laws, but they've been condensed to 10 when they were given to Musa on the Mount. And because those 10 pretty much encompass all of the 600. And we're bringing our people back to these statutes and laws and commandments because in them we have life. Proverbs 3rd chapter makes that clear, that in them we have life and we have protection. Not only that, I always emphasize that that is our culture. A culture that was stolen from us and taken from us is embodied in the laws that were given by the Most High. They teach us how to live, how to treat each other, how to judge each other, how to protect each other, how to deal with each other, and how to eat and what not to eat. And this is everything that they want to throw us off of. And this particular holiday season being one of the main seasons that they utilize for their satanic, I should say holiday season, for their satanic rituals, worship, the winter solstice, Saturnalia, worship of Tammuz, worship of Serenesis, all kinds of worship of many fallen angels. As a matter of fact, this past Friday was supposed to be the release of the Nephilim, the fallen gods, and the release as they prepare for the dawning of the age of Aquarius, which is a lie. But nonetheless, I know the more that they move into whatever they move into, the closer we move into moving into the wilderness and being collected by the Most High, the diaspora being collected, the 12 tribes being collected to move into our ultimate destiny. So the quicker we get to the end game, we know what the end game is. It is the fight against the children of Israel, because we are the sons of God. We see him, we shall be changed. If we see him, we shall be as he is. We'll be transformed. And this is their greatest fear, who we really are. And the more we cling to the statutes, the laws, the commandments, the more we become like our Abba, our Father, Most High, our Higher, our Shin, Shia. And that's why this is a day I love, because everything must come to a stop. He's our provider. He's our source. It's not your job. No. He is the one. He is our shepherd. He is the one that carries us through. So therefore, we have no fear. I don't want you to have any fear. And don't get caught up into spending money. That's why today I'm going to talk about one particular commandment as it pertains to the 10, which is covetousness, for the next few minutes before Elder Andre comes in. And if you've got your word, I want you to go with me. First of all, covetousness has a variety of different meanings, but there are three meanings that stand out as it pertains to covetousness, because this whole entire season and time is just steeped in covetousness and idolatry, worship of trees, worship of gifts, worship of receiving things from people, and worship of oneself, what they've gained monetarily to be able to buy the greatest gift for somebody. It's full of lust and covetousness. And covetousness is pretty much a lust for things. It's greed. And it has always had an effect on our people as well. When you talk about covetousness, you're talking about gaining dishonestly. You're talking about wishing to have more than you possess. You're never satisfied. You're never content. And the Most High said, be content with such things that you have. If you've got food, clothes, and raiment, you should be content. And that's a hard thing to do if you're not subdued by the Ruach. It's a very hard thing to do. And then there's also the inordinate love of money. And the sad thing is that the inordinate love of money is the biggest thing that is affecting the so-called Christian church right now, because the 501c3 government, the New World Order, and the Illuminati have been successful in identifying preachers that will help to lead these Christians in droves into the New World Order and the internment camps and into the mark of the beast, because they've turned them all into people lusting for material things. Everything they do, even when they give their money and their little tithes, they do it to get something in return as if it's a lottery system. And that's what they've been taught. So they've carefully selected your T.D. Jakes, your Joel Osteen, your Creflo Dollars, your Eddie Longs, or your Eddie Wrongs, all of them, to put this image up and cause the people to begin to want to slap three people and tell them, I'm getting ready to get my big house, my big car. I'm coming into this. The entire Christian world, black, white, brown, whatever you want to call it, is waiting for something to happen down here. when in actuality they're scratching their head because everything they read about in Revelations is Revelations is unfolding in their face, the mark of the beast, and the new world order, and the monetary system. But they're wondering why they haven't been raptured yet. Because your rapture is a farce, it's a fake. You need to come to the real study and understand that the Jesuit priests introduced this whole idea of a rapture and you being saved from Jacob's trouble and not going through it. Who do you think you are when the disciples had to go through hell and were destroyed for this gospel, and you think you're just going to be saved from it, as foul and filthy as you are, and you don't even follow the statutes, laws, and commandments. You pick and choose what you want to follow. Therefore, you're not a disciple because you have no discipline, and you're not disciplined by the word, and the word I'm in reference to is the Torah. The Torah, which is enforced by the Tanakh, by the prophets. No, but what you want to do is get lost in the letters, the epistles, especially the confusing ones of Shaul, so that you can justify your wrongful deeds. So when we talk about covetousness, this entire Christmas holiday is steeped in covetousness. Covetousness is one of the most gravest sins. It's a heinous crime before the Most High. Scripture class is among the very gravest and grossest crimes. Let's take a look real quick at Exodus 18 and 21. Exodus 18 and 21, Moses was appointing judges and different men to rule over the camp. Most High said, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear, haya, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers." The Most High told Moses, he told him, make sure that whoever you place over my people hate covetousness that is strong. That means that they must be able to identify it and despise it when they see it. I despise Christmas. I despise people who constantly lust for things. I despise everything that's going on in the Christian church. I despise what adults teach their kids to always ask for something and want something and not be satisfied. This is what's happening. Those who always want to possess more, they've got everybody in the world stuck on this. Every time a new iPhone comes out, a Negro gets in line to get the next one when his is functioning properly. Excess is what the whole world has been taught. This daughter of Babylon will be destroyed for the sins that she has imputed upon the entire world. Let's also look at Ezekiel 33 and 31. There's a term known as comparative self-worth, and there's a psychological problem that the majority of the world has to where they compare themselves based upon what they have next to what someone else has. So I figure what my value is what I possess in comparison to what somebody else has, which is why they put all these shows on television about cribs and fabulous homes, millionaires, and who has what, so they can keep you chasing the dollar or lusting and wanting to have. It never stops. See, we have to remember that even in the Old Testament, when we began to take over the land, that there was the sin that took place of Achan in Joshua 7:21, right there. We lost a battle with Joshua because Achan saw all these things and he got covetous and decided to take some of the treasures and bury them. The Most High let Joshua know the reason you lost the battle because there's sin in the camp, because somebody got covetous. It always happens. And then when you go into the so-called New Covenant, the letters, the epistles, you find that Ananias and Sapphira in Acts, the 5th chapter, got greedy and lied about what they sold and the money they kept. So we as a people have a tendency, when the going gets good, to get greedy and start to keep things, because a little bit is not enough. And this is something that you must bring up under the control of the Ruach through submission to the commandments and laws, because it's always affected us as a people when we get greedy, which is why you must die to your flesh by disciplining your flesh, by the washing of the word and through fasting and much prayer, because greed will always try to rear its ugly head, which is why covetousness is a very grievous sin that we must deal with and keep our eyes open for. It was in the early church, it was in the congregation, in the Torah, and it exists today. And it's all in your face right now with this Christmas holiday. Covetousness turns into idolatry because people worship material things. They have to have it. And so they run synonymous. They run hand in hand. I want to end with this last one, which will just blow this Christmas madness out the water for those of you that have fallen for this spirit, the most hypocritical time of year. Listen to this. Proverbs 15:27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Let me stop there before I finish it. He that is greedy of gain, you bring trouble into your own home because you always want more. And that spirit comes within your house because nobody's satisfied. Remember, you always heard the saying that the biggest fight that couples have is over money? That's where it is right there. Because somebody within the couple, the relationship, is greedy and is not satisfied because it's not enough. Now listen to the second portion. But he that hateth gifts shall live. See, this whole Christmas holiday is about gifts under trees. And the Most High, through Solomon, said right here, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Is there anybody that hates a gift during this time of year that despises it? Or are you going to be looking to receive something? And the biggest thing we do is be giving back to our people and trying to wake our people up. That's what time it is. Let's walk away, Israel, Yasharel, from the sin of covetousness. Know that we don't need it. We don't need anything that this world projects upon us. So when we return, we will be with Elder Andre, and may the Most High bless and keep you.
Success is in your hand. Follow my plan. I've called you for this hour and placed in you my power. It's in your hand. Follow my plan. I will do exceedingly above all you ask of me. It's in your hands. Follow my plan. Don't wait until the last. Don't wait until the right. It's in your hands. Follow my plan. I've called you by my name, and you will never be the same. It's in your hands.
Shabbat shalom to the Mishpachah family out there. Hope you enjoyed that lesson from Zakin V as he broke down the commandments and what we should and should not do and the things that is the wickedness that is going on today. We are to, the scripture says, be light and to reprove and expose the wickedness that is going on today. Good to see you. Good that you're alive and you made it through, as you said. I saw that yesterday people, you know, it was different things going on. You had some people who was afraid, and so therefore they're confessing their sins and so on, getting ready to, you know, expect, I guess, whatever. And then you had those who were just, since it's the last day, let me go out partying. And so, they, you know, you had a lot of people partying and doing as thou wilt, as is the motto of the Satanists. So they were doing whatever. And then you had those who, you know, went to their holy places, you know, there was a lot that was in front of the pyramid and went to the statue of Ramesses and so on. Others took a hike up to Mount Hermon, to the place where the giants land and where the fallen angels, Malachim, where they landed. And it was just a whole bunch of stuff going on yesterday, expecting it to be the last day. You know, and the thing is, the foolishness of it is the Messiah said, no man knows the day. You know, so to those of you who are supposedly saved, you should have known that these Mayans don't know the day. They may have gotten some things right, I mean, but Satan's going to tell you some things. Though to those of you who's worshiping Satan, you know, so he'll get some things right, but he don't know the day, you know, so if he knew the day, he'll be well prepared. You know, so so here we are, you know, here we are on another Shabbat. I'm Zakin Audrey. Zakin means elder, coming before you today to bring you the second part of this lesson, and we're going to go over just a little bit of Christmas and its origin. I'm not going to go into it too deep, or I don't know. I'll just see what the Ruach has to do say about it. But there's just about everybody Hebrew congregation I know is probably going to hit on this subject today. So. So, you know, I'm not in competition with anybody, but we'll see what the Ruach has, you know, to do with this lesson, how far he'll carry me into it, and take it from there. The scriptures that we're going to hit on today are being taken out of Exodus, that Hebrew word Shemot, 20:2-6. Also verse 14, Jeremiah, Hebrew word Yirmiyahu, 10:1-11. Ezekiel, Yexekiel, Hebrew word, chapter 8:1-18. And so let's, I'm going to read to start off Exodus 20:2-6. Exodus 20:2-6 says, I am Ahayah, your Elohim, or Ahayah, your most high powers, Elyonayim, who brought you out of the land of Mizraim, out of the house. So Egypt is called Mizraim, Aramaic Kameh, or Ham, Cam, is out of the house, Bet Abed. So it's out of the house of slavery. Funny thing about that, because I guess, you know, it depends on how you look at Egypt, because to us Hebrews, it is called the house of slavery, Beth Obed, or Beth Abed, house of slavery. But to those down south, meaning the Cushites, the Ethiopians, they called it Gebs, from the simple fact that it's a place where you can just go and eat to your to the fill. And so Gebs to them were a place where you can go eat. So it wasn't a house of bondage to them. And to others, it just Kameh or Kemet, meaning Ham or Cam, is his people. So I guess how, you know, it depends on how you look at it. But for us, it was the house of slavery. Why? Because when we were there, although we prospered for really the majority part that we were there, we prospered, but we're yet in every aspect of I guess, customs and traditions, were Egyptian. So we worship their, the scripture says this, we ate Egyptian, we dressed Egyptian, we sung Egyptian, we spoke Egyptian, Egyptian language. We worshiped the Egyptian deities. We were Egyptian down to the bone. We know this because the scripture says that when they went to go bury Yaakov, Jacob, back in the land of Canaan, the Edomites saw them burying, and they described the whole group as Egyptian. They didn't say Hebrews and Egypt, you know, Egyptians. They just said Egyptians. Also, when the king called on Balaam to curse curse the Hebrews, he said those Egyptians that came out of Egypt. And so he related that. It's probably not going to say that in King James. You have to break it down. It probably will. I don't remember. But so we were in all aspects, in every way, in every culture, African Egyptians. But yet we were in the house of bondage because we wasn't living by the Torah. We were living by sin and practicing sin. And so he says, who brought you out of the land of Mizraim, out of the house of bondage, you are to have no other mighty ones. No, don't have no other, King James would say, gods. Don't have no other mighty ones before my face or against my face. In other words, don't put no other deities, and you just bring it up to my face, like Nimrod did. Nimrod was a mighty hunter in the face. In other words, he was doing this thing. He said, I'm going to do this right in your face to the Most High. So the Most High says to us, don't do like Nimrod did. Don't put no other mighty ones in my face and against my face. He says, you did not make for yourself carved images. Oh, we see that. We see that everywhere. I mean, you can walk in church. You can walk in a mosque. You can walk in a synagogue. You can walk in a Buddhist temple, Hindu, wherever it may be. You're going to see these carved images. He says, don't make for yourself carved images or any likeness of that which is in the Shamayim, in the heavens above, sun, moon, stars, whatever, any type of astrology, or which is in the earth beneath, demons and so on, or which is in the waters under the earth, you know, fish, whales, whatever it may be, sharks, whatever it may be. Some of you may even draw mermaids, which is in fact demons as well. You do not bow down. In other words, you do not worship. You do not bow down to them nor serve them. Because if whatever you serve, that is what you worship. Want to get that right. For I, Ahaya, your Elyon, your Elyon Yaim, or your Elohim, am a jealous power, El, or Al, visiting the wickedness of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations, to those who hate me. Now, we're on Christmas. We're going to talk about Christmas. But if you do these things, you don't even have to say it with your mouth. You're doing it with your works, saying that you hate him by worshiping and serving and practicing these pagan customs. Now, this isn't a word. So if you want to argue with somebody, argue with him, because he's the one that's saying it. Don't call here arguing with me, or don't call this station arguing with me. He's the one that's saying it. So if you're going to get offended, those of you who practice Christmas and all the rest of these pagan traditions, if you're going to get offended, you better look at the commandments. And his Torah is stamped and sealed. His Torah is final. It's not no, well, he's going to change it like everybody else says, including the church, that the Messiah came and changed the laws. He didn't change anything. He fulfilled them. To those who hate me, he says in verse 5, but showing kindness to thousands, to those who ahav, or those who love me, and keep and guard and watch my commands. So that's what he says, and that is the second command. The second commandment in the Ten Commandments. Verse 14 says this: you do not commit adultery. Now, most people look at that and they'll just think, you know, between husband and wife, physically, between husband and wife. And it does. But you can also commit spiritual adultery. You can also commit spiritual idolatry, because that's the same thing. If you worship in some idol, that is spiritual idolatry and it's spiritual adultery. You are not to commit. This is the seventh commandment. You are not to commit idolatry. And that is what's going on right now as we speak. People are up early. Those who thought, you know, those who figured out that the world didn't end. The department stores are opened early. The malls are open early. Stores are open early. And people are out and up early shopping on the Sabbath, which is another commandment not for us not to do, but just to rest in the Messiah on the Sabbath and enjoy our family, those who are married, enjoy your husband and wife, and just rest. Relax. That's a good thing. I don't know why people want to, when you've been working all week, to get up and do some more stuff. But the devil, what he has done is he made the Sabbath a serious work day. And not only the Sabbath, but the sixth day, he made a day where we are to prepare for the Sabbath. He made it a day where you can party, get off work, and, you know, as the OJ says, party on down. Make the Sabbath a day where you can get up and cut your grass and do some spring cleaning. I mean, that's some serious work. Spring cleaning, cut the grass, and do all kind of housework on the Sabbath when you're supposed to be resting. Others do shopping, do major shopping on the Sabbath. This is what the enemy has done. The scripture lets us know that he planted darnels, he planted tares in the wheat. Tares look like wheat. They smell like wheat. They look like wheat, and it's hard, unless you're an expert at it, it's hard to tell one from the other. One thing that gives them away is that when the wind blows, the wheat blows with the wind, whereas the tares is stubborn and don't want to blow and go with the wind. Tares are, when you eat it, it's poisonous, and it kills you in the end. Wheat nourishes your body, and Satan has planted wheat has planted tares in the wheat field. And so, therefore, these pagan holidays, it looks holy, smells holy, everything about it it has some holiness behind it. It looks holy, if I can say the word holy. But it's definitely not Kodesh. And it's meant to bring you down. It's meant to tear you apart. Before I go to the origins of, well, no, I'm going to just go there. Let's go to Yirmiyahu. That's Jeremiah 10. And let's take it 1 through 11. I'm going to try to rush to this because my time is running out. Hear the debar, hear the word which Ahiah speaks to you, O house of Israel. So once again, he's talking to the congregation. He's talking to his people. Thus says Ahiah, do not learn the ways of the Gentiles, and do not be frightened by the signs of the Shamayim, by their astrology and by their signs of heavens, for the Gentiles, the Goyim, are frightened by them. They worship these things. He says, don't learn the way of the Gentiles. So what Israel has done up until this point, not only have they learned the way of the Gentiles, they were practicing the ways of the Gentiles and continually practicing, studying the ways of the Gentiles. Theology schools today are set up so you can practice the ways of the Gentiles. Very rarely do theology schools teach you the commandments. No, they teach you the Greek way of life. That's why Greek is the Greek languages is so prominent in the theology schools over the original Hebrew and over the original Aramaic. You surely don't see no Ethiopic in there, which is also the sister language of the Hebrew. It's focused on Greek and it's focused on the ways of the Gentiles. And he says, do not learn the ways of the Gentiles, the Goyims. Do not be frightened by the signs of the Shamayim, of the heavens, for the Gentiles are frightened by them. And whatever you fear is another thing that you also revere, because fear and revere is the same word in the Hebrew. He says, don't do that. For the prescribed customs of these peoples are worthless. For one cuts a tree from the forest, works for the hands of the craftsmen with the cutting tool. So they find a good tree in the forest. Still happening today. You know, you go, except that the trees are brought to the city. And you go and you choose out your tree. For what? For Christmas. Now, Christmas, the meaning of Christmas is two words. Chris is the Greek word meaning Christos. That means anointed. And the sister language of the Greek, which is Latin, is the word missa, which means depart. So anointing, depart. Or you could say depart the anointing. So you know good and well that Christmas has nothing to do with the Messiah, because they want to depart. The whole meaning of it all is to depart the Messiah out of it. They don't want to have nothing, and so thus, the Messiah was never in it. So the very word Christmas is referring to keep the Messiah out. And out of all pagan days, this is probably, and it's argued, you know, it's argument, you know, that, and it's of my opinion, but I'm pretty sure I'm right on this, according to what Scripture says. Out of all the pagan holidays, this one is the most evil out of all days. So they go into the forest and do what they always been doing. They go find a tree. This is verse 3 of 10. Cut the tree from the hands of a craftsman with a tool. They adorn it with silver and gold. Silver and gold what? Silver and gold balls. We're going to get into that. They fasten it with nails, hammers, so that it would not topple. So now, since they fasten it, they made this thing, this Christmas tree, an altar. And this Christmas tree is an altar, and it served as an altar to Nimrod, dash Tammuz, dash his wife Semiramis, by the participants who are putting these gifts and offerings under the tree. Everything about it is of satanic origin, and we're going to hit on that with the time that I have. And so he says in verse 4, they adorn it with silver and gold. Now, these the silver and gold that you put on these trees, these balls and these silver and gold balls and the carved images that you put on there of angels and stuff, everything that the Most High, I just read in the commandments, don't do. You put the carved images on there. They were putting the carved images of Baal as well as Asherah. The balls represent the balls like on a male, his testicles and so on, genitals. So Christmas is in fact of sexual or nature. The tree itself represents a penis. The little silver stuff you throw around there represents semen. So everything about it is wicked and has sexual nature intended on it. And there's other stuff that goes with that that I'm going to hit on. So what has happened is that the Hebrews, they have mixed in the pagan observance of Ahia with the worship of Baal and Asherah. They mixed them right into each other. And Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose, convict, reprove them. And once we find out the truth, we got to start doing as Ephesians 5:16 says, redeem the time. And so it says in verse 5, they are like, so they build an altar, that tree becomes an altar because he fastened it in place and put gifts under it and so on. They are like, verse 5, they are like rounded posts, and they do not speak. These trees do not speak. They have to be carried to their destination. So it says they have to be carried because they do not walk. These trees do not walk. Do not be afraid of them, for they do no evil. These trees are not the ones that's doing the evil. It's the people who's using these trees to do evil. The trees itself are not evil. I want to say that. The trees itself, so, you know, some people just take stuff too far. You start calling the nature of the Most High that he created, you start calling the trees evil. The trees are not evil. They were just minding their own business, and you came and cut them down and started using them for your sexual orgies and start worshiping them. But he says the trees are not evil, nor is it in them to do any good. There is none like you, O Ahia. You are great, and great is your name and power and might. In other words, what you have replaced with him, he's saying, no, I'm the one. There's none like you, Ahia. You are great, and great is your name and might. Who would not revere you, O Molech, King and sovereign of the nations? He has to remind, it's a shame that the people who are called by his name, he has to remind them that I'm the one that you fear. I'm the one that you revere. I'm the one that you bow down to. I'm the one that you bring gifts and offerings to. Instead of this Christmas tree. For among the wise men of the nations and in all their reigns, there is none like you. The wise men that teaches these pagan traditions, they don't even compare to the teachings of the Torah, the teachings of the Messiah, our true rabbi, our true sage, our true Ha'akam, teacher, professor. It says in verse 8, they are both brutish and foolish, and instruction of worthlessness is the tree. It's just foolish, he says. And instruction of worthlessness is the tree. Why? Because what they're doing is, not only are they setting up this tree and worshiping the tree, worshiping Tammuz, through the tree, Semiramis, Nimrod's wife, through the tree, Nimrod through the tree, they're also is making the Most High's name vain, which means worthlessness. That's what they have done. They had taken out his name in Scripture and replaced it with Lord and God, and just made his name of no use, made his name worthless. All this is mixed up in Christmas. Silver is beaten into plates. You find silver plates, gold plates on Christmas, put it on the table. It is brought from Tarshish and gold from Uphaz. The work of the craftsman in the hands of the smith, draped in blue and purple. Who is draped in blue and purple today? You'll find it in the church, by the way. All of them are work of skilled ones. But Ahaya is our true Elyon Yaim. He's our true powers, Most High powers. He is the living one. Taught on this past Rabbah Yom, pagan word Wednesday, about his name. And in Enoch called his name not Ahaya, but Akaya. And in Hebrew, you know that Ket is interchangeable with the Hay. So you can say Akaya or you can say Ahaya. Both means Ahaya, which is taken from Exodus 3:14, I am, which cannot be truly translated because the meaning is so large and so huge. Who can translate it? Akaya means life or living. And so he says here in verse, let me just take it in verse 10. But Ahaya, the true Most High powers, is the living Elohim. He is the K or the Kaya Elohim and the everlasting King, Melech, sovereign,
At his wrath, the earth shakes. The nations are unable to stand in his displeasure. Displeasure of what? Well, we're on the Christmas subject. We're on the Christmas chapter here. And Christmas, once again, Christmas, meaning Chris, Christos, Greek, anointed, Missa, Latin, departed. This brings him to wrath. This is displeasurable to him. Not pleasurable, displeasure. Say to them, the Allah, the mighty one, that did not make the Shamayim, did not make the heavens and the earth, shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. And the word is going out so much today regarding this from other Mishpachah family, from other Hebrew brothers and sisters who are teaching this lesson today. I know that the others, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, so on, Christians, the church, I know that they got to be hearing this. So what you ought to have tomorrow, church, what you ought to have tomorrow is an axe service. You go to the store, get yourself an axe, sharpen it real good, and you go in the church. You want to see some shouting, let's shout like this. And you cut down those Christmas trees. We ought to have an axe service. We ought to have a cutting service. Get yourself some large shears. Go get that Santa Claus outfit and cut it. You ought to have yourself a burning service. Carry it out into the courtyard or carry it out outside so the whole neighborhood can see it. Carry the Christmas trees. Carry the silver sprinkle semen. Carry the balls and everything outside. Call the neighborhood. Get Santa outfit. Get the wreaths. Get everything about it. Mistletoes, everything about it. Candies, candy canes, everything about it. And burn it. Then that will bring pleasure. Pleasure to the Most High. Ezekiel, let's go to Ezekiel and we'll finish on this. Ezekiel 8. Says this. And it came to be, or came to pass, in the sixth year, sixth month, fifth of the month, as I sat in my house with the Zakenim, with the elders of Yehuda, sitting before me in the hand of the master, Ahiah fell upon me there. And I looked, and I saw a likeness, like the appearance of fire. From his waist and downward, the appearance of like fire, and from his waist and upward, the appearance of brightness, like glowing metal. I said this past Arba, Wednesday, fourth day, that the fire is steady purifying him. So he's steady being Kodesh more and more and more. And because he's being Kodesh more and more and more, the beauty of him is being enhanced more and more and more. When I say Kodesh, to those of you who, that's the Hebrew word, the church says holy, but that's not, holy comes from the word, from the deity, holy, so I don't like using that word. I use Kodesh. So therefore, he cannot lie, he cannot sin, because he lives in purifying fire, and he is fire. Verse 2 says, and I looked, and I saw the likeness of the appearance of fire from the waist downward, and the appearance was like fire, and from his waist and from and upward, the appearance of brightness, glowing like metal. And he stretched out the form, and he stretched out the form of a hand and took me by the locks. He had dreads or braids. This is another indication that the guy was a brother. So that was the custom. That's always been the custom of the Hebrews, wearing braids, wearing locks. You can look at the Babylonian images of the Hebrew. We're wearing braids and locks. You can look at the hieroglyphs. We're wearing braids and locks. You can look at the Assyrian artifacts, and you'll see that we're wearing braids, and dreads, and so on. So he took him by the locks. Surprised, huh? That Ezekiel was wearing locks. Took him by the lock, by my hair, and the Ruach, the spirit, lifted me up between the earth and the heavens, the Shamayim, and brought me in visions of the Most High powers, Elohim, Elyonayim, to Jerusalem. So he brought him in a vision to Jerusalem, to the door of the north, gates of the inner court, where the seat, now watch this, where the seat of the image of jealousy was, which causes jealousy. Now, what is the image of jealousy? Is the obelisk. You can go to Egypt, and you can go to Ethiopia, and you can go to Washington, and you'll see this obelisk. It's the image of jealousy. The steeples that's on the church are obelisk, images of jealousy. The steeples that's on churches have not only obelisks, but they have most of the time crosses on top of the obelisk, images of jealousy. Now, obelisk is nothing but a big, huge penis. That's all it is. Once again, it all has something to do with sex. So that's what an obelisk is. I said isk as in like Popeye, but I didn't mean to say that. Isk. But that's what it is. So you find it in church, on church buildings, you'll find it. In Egypt, you'll find it in Washington. You'll find it in Ethiopia. You'll find it, you know, and I'm sure through other parts, through Africa and through other countries. Image of jealousy, which causes jealousy. And see the esteem, the heaviness, the kabod, King James would say glory, of the Most High powers of Elohim of Israel was there. like the vision of that I saw in the plane. In other words, once again, that they're mixing the worship of Baal, the worship of Asherah, the worship of Molech, which means king, Molech, with the worship of the Most High. That's why you'll find on Christmas days in church that they're singing hymns. They're doing their shouting. They're doing their preaching. But they also have their Santa. They also have their Santas. I know the church that I used to go to is definitely having a. They're having a Santa Claus giving out gifts and having kids sit on their lap. They have their Christmas trees and their arrangements and decorations. Lights all over the place, mixing it with the worship of the Most High. Verse 5 says, and he said to me, Son of man, please lift up your eyes towards the north. And I lift up my eyes northward and north of the altar gate, and I saw the image of jealousy at the entrance. He saw these obelisks. He saw this steeples with the cross. Representing Tammuz. And he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abominations which the house of Israel are doing here? Driving me away from my mikdash. You see the word kadash in mikdash, sanctuary. The most kodesh sanctuary. And you're about to see greater abominations. Now, the word abomination, I'm going to give you two words with that. Abomination in Hebrew is toeba or ta'aba. The Aramaic, which we're about to hit on right now because we're talking about it, Tammuzah. See the word Tammuz and Tammuzah? Very similar. It means unclean, defilement, impure, abominable, nasty, detestable, grotesque. Things. This is to his. This is what he's calling grotesque, nasty, detestable, abominable, impure, defilement. Hard to look at. Have you ever stuff that make your stomach, stuff that make you sick? This is the definition of abomination. Stuff that make him sick. Stuff for him to look at, stuff that's so grotesque and stuff that's so nasty. This is Christmas. And he said to me, verse 6, Son of man, he said, you see what they are doing, the great abominations which the house of Israel is doing, driving me away from my mikdash, and you are about to see still greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and I looked and I saw a hole in a wall. And he said to me, Son of man, please dig into the hole. And when I dug unto the wall, I saw a door. So what they're doing, they're trying to hide in the sanctuary to do these things. And he said to me, go in and see the evil abominations, Teboa, Im, with the S, abominations, Tamutha, which they are doing. And I went in and I looked and saw all kinds of creeping creatures, abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel carved all around, all on the walls. So he walked in there, and he seen pigs, swines, unclean beasts, probably some hyenas and all kind of just unclean things that they're not even supposed to touch. Well, they're not only not only supposed to touch, they got these things, creeping creatures. They got carvings of them. They got them all over the walls. We do the same. Do the same as what? You have these reindeers and flying, you know, elk and whatever it is. Which is stupid because how can you, it don't make sense that Santa Claus is flying using reindeers. You know something evil about it because you know that they can't fly. And facing them, 70 men of the elders of Israel. Let me stop there and look up this scripture right quick. I was thinking about the 70 elders. Well, let's just turn to Exodus 24 and 1. These are the 70 elders he's talking about. Exodus 24, that's Shemot, Hebrew word Shemot, Exodus 24. In one, and he said to Musa, come up to Ahiah, you and Hezron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 from the elders of Israel, and bow yourselves from a distance. These are the 70 elders he's talking about. Verse 9 says, and Musa and Hezron went up with Nadab and Abihu with the 70 elders of Israel. Let's go to Bet-Midbar. Let's go to Numbers 11:16. Numbers 11:16 says, and Ahiah said to Musa, assemble to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you have known that they are elders of the people. So these are the leaders of the people. These are the leaders, the 70 leaders of the people and its officers. And you shall take them to the tent of the congregation, and they shall line up themselves with you. These are the 70 leaders, 70 elders of the whole congregation, to assist Moses in ministry. So let me go. Keep on going. Verse 11 says, okay, and facing them stood the 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel. These are the leaders of the house of Israel. And in their midst stood Azaniah, son of Shaphan. Now Now, if you know who Chapin is, you'll know how shameful this is. Chapin is the famous Hebrew scribe that assisted Josiah or Yoshia in his ministry, in his office. Let's go to 2 Malachi 22 and starting at verse 3. Malachi Bet 22. I'm just going to give you a few examples, starting at verse 3. So Hilkiah the Kohanim Gadol, the high priest, go to Hilkiah, the high priest, the Kohanim Gadol, and he shall count the silver that is brought unto the house of Ahiah, that the keepers of the door have gathered from the people, and they will give into the hands of the workers, those who oversee in the house of Ahiah, and they shall give it to the doers of the work who are in the house of Ahiah to repair the breaks of the house, to the carpenters, to the builders, to the masons, to buy wood, cut stone, strengthen the house. Let me go to verse 8. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Chapin, here's his name, he's all over scriptures, the scribe. So this is an edit. This guy, he's all over scripture. So he's a famous person. He's not no just one name guy. I have found the book of the Torah in the house of Ahiah, and Hilkiah gave the book to Chapin, and he read it. And Chapin, the scribe, came to the king, to Melech, Yoshia, and brought back word to the king and said, your servants have poured out the silver that has been found in the house and have given it to the hands of the doers of the work, those who oversee the house of Ahiah. And Chapin, the scribe, told the king, saying, Hilkiah, the Kohen, the priest, has given a book to me, and Chapin read it before the king. So is Chapin, the scribe, the guy who's educated in the Torah, and not only educated in the Torah, he writes the Torah in the laws and the commandments. Verse 11 says, and it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the Torah, he tore his garments. So it was this man who read the Torah to Yoshiyahu. It was this man who assisted him throughout the king's time in office. He's all through scriptures. Let me just give you a few. 2 Chronicles 34, 8 through 20. You can write these down. Jeremiah or Yirmiyahu 26, 24, 29 and 3 of Jeremiah, 36 and 10 of Jeremiah, 40 and 5, Jeremiah, verse 9, 40, 5, 9, 11 of Jeremiah, 41 and 2, Jeremiah, 43 and 6 in Jeremiah. So he's all over scripture. All about him is of good report. Nothing about him is of bad report. But he had a lot of kids. Nothing bad about that. The brother had a lot of kids. And here's one of them. Let's go to verse 11 once again. Ya'azanyah, son of Chapin, each one had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. They were praying to these things. Now, 70 elders, men who are chose out and anointed and leading the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes, Then you had the son of Shaphan, the scribe. So if you know anything about our culture, if you're a carpenter, you're going to teach your kids carpenter. If you are a priest, your son's going to be priest. If you are a scribe, your son's going to be scribes. So this guy knew the scripture inside and out. That's what makes it so bad. You can't just go to 11 and run through 11. You got to break this stuff down. These men knew what they were doing. They wasn't ignorant. And just like today, you have leaders of the church doing wickedness behind closed doors. You have leaders in Beit Yisrael doing wickedness behind closed doors, like they're doing. Verse 12 says, yeah, I said it. And the Most High sees you just like he sees them. Said in verse 12, and he said to me, son of man, have you seen what the elders, the Zakanim of Beit Yisrael, are doing in the dark, each one in the room of his idols? They're going out. They're serving, they're ministering to the people. But in the dark, they're going and they're doing these things. They're worshiping these idols. They're worshiping these unclean idols. And they say now, men who are educated, men who have knowledge of the Most High, men who are leaders in the congregation, say this: Ahayah does not see us. They say this in the dark. Ahayah does not see us. Ahayah has forsaken the land. And he's not thinking about us. I can tell the people whatever I want. I can go and just, go about the motions. Verse 13 says, and he said to me, you are to see even still greater Toebaim, greater Tamuthaim than these are doing. Stuff that make him sick, stuff that is just grotesque to him. And he brought me to the door of the north gate. Why the north gate? Because north gate is north. It's pointed towards the heavens. Of the house of Ahiah, and saw a woman. Watch this. Saw a woman sitting there, weeping and crying and lamenting, waiting for Tammuz, waiting for Christmas to come around. Once again, you see Tammuz. Tammuz in Tammuz, the abomination. Waiting for abomination to come. Waiting for Christmas to come. Christmas is abomination. In Aramaic, write that down. Learn that. It is Aramaic for abomination is Tamutha. Waiting for Tammuz to come. Weeping for it. And so, you may say, well, that's just a Babylonian thing. It's not just a Babylonian thing. Egypt, their deities was all about the same thing. Amun-Ra, the sun, S-U-N. Nimrod died. And they say, according to the teachings of his wife, turned into the sun. Horus,
all seen. Osiris, Isis, who is Semiramis. All that is the same, just names changed. So who influenced? See, people get this mixed up. They think that it was Egypt who influenced the world. But no, it was Ethiopia who Egypt got their influence from. Why? Because Babylon is Ethiopia. Nimrod is the founder of not only Babylon, but Assyria and the other nations. Is the son of Cush. He's Ethiopian. Nebuchadnezzar is an Ethiopian name. Nabu, prophet, Cad, united, one. Nazar, king. Nazar is the Z. In Hebrew, it's interchangeable with the G. So you can say Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar. Nigger in Ethiopian means king. King, prophet, united as one. Who was he talking about? He was talking about Cush, who was the father and the prophet of Nimrod. He said, we're in one. The king, Nimrod, and himself are united as one. So let me finish this. He says, so you see what they're doing, the Tammuz, 15. Then he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? You are to still see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the house of Ahiah, and there at the door of the Hekel, the temple of Ahiah, between the porch and the altar were about 25 men and their backs towards the Hekel of Ahiah and their faces towards the east, and they were bowing themselves eastward to the sun. Where's east? They're in Israel. East is Babylon, towards the sun. Worshipping, you know, we're supposed to be praying towards Israel, and they're praying towards the sun. He said to me, have you seen, O son of man, it is a small matter to the house of Yehuda to do these abominations which were done here, for they have filled the land with violence. They have turned back to provoke me, and see, they are putting the branch to my nose. Therefore I shall indeed deal in wrath. My eyes shall not pardon, nor will I spare, and they shall cry in my ears with a loud voice, but I shall not hear them. So in ending this, because my time has ran out, there's so much more to this, but my time has ran out. Deuteronomy 7:5 says break down their altars, smash their pillars, cut down their Azarim, and burn their carved images with fire. That's what you are to do to these trees, these Christmas trees. So to those of you who are in church, to those of you who are not in church and are practicing these things, to those of you who are in these other religions, Islam, Buddha, whatever it may be, and you're in your own culture celebrating Christmas, celebrating Tammuz, celebrating abomination, the word says this. If you want to please the Most High, you want to gratify him, break down the altars, smash their pillars, cut down the Azarim or your Azra that's in your house, burn the carved images with fire. Deuteronomy 7:25 says the carved images of their mighty ones you are to burn with fire. Do not covet the silver or the gold balls. Those are the gold balls, the testicles, that is on them, nor take it
for yourselves, lest you be snared, trapped, imprisoned by it. For it is an abomination to Ahiah, your Most High. Do not bring, 726, an abomination into your house, lest you be accursed like it and utterly loathed. And so I invite you all, in closing, to tear this thing down. Tear Christmas down. Tear it down and get rid of it. And please the Most High. I thank you for listening to this broadcast. And on behalf of Elder Zakin.
I'm right here, Elder.
Oh, okay. Going overtime there.
No apologies necessary. It's no overtime, you know, for Wada, to Elder Dre, for that lesson. And to the people, most importantly, that are out there listening, I hope that we've emphasized and we're all just trying to prophesy into the wind against this foul spirit that's in the air, this Christmas holiday, because actually there are human sacrifices taking place, people being kidnapped, destroyed, and murdered to other gods. So, you know, great lesson. All praises to the Most High, because we got to do the work. And we're just out here trying to do the work.
Can I say this one last thing, Elder?
Go ahead.
Is that it's tradition in Arizona desert for every pagan occult religion, even though some of them may disagree, Satanists, Wiccas, whatever it may be, they all meet in Arizona desert with that gold calf, and they just have themselves get high, have orgies, all the whole thing. They do that yearly, and this is the time that they do it, celebrating Christmas.
These people know who they are, and they know who we are, but they know a lot of us have been asleep since we're in captivity, and the fear is that they see that Israel is waking up. These dry bones are preparing to live again, and so it's not a fear of the economy. It's not a fear of World War III. It's the fear that Jacob's sons are rising and waking up. So come up out of her, my people. Let's walk away from all these pagan practices. We'll be talking about New Year's, too. We don't want nothing to do with that. Every year during New Year's, the president signs another bill towards the destruction of Israel, just like he did the NDAA. So let's keep our eyes open, our hearts and our spirits open, and keep fighting this good fight. Keep prophesying wherever you are, whoever's listening out there. Anything else you want to say before we close?
You had mentioned about some alterations in our weekly thing. Due to the fact that I'll be enhancing my education, I wouldn't be participating in the Shabbat, and possibly Wednesdays. I'll let you know that on this coming Wednesday, what I'll be doing there. But as far as with the time change, the elder will be handling that because I'll be taking a leave due to education, you know, enhancing my education, going to school and everything. And so I just want you to know. The person who started it, I'm just assisting him. You're incapable.
Hey, this is the Most High. Most High doing all this. We just instruments and vessels. But yeah, we celebrate that though, as far as expanding our education, because we gotta make full proof of our ministries at this time, our Knesset. So you know, all praises to the Most High Zach for everything that you're doing. So we'll be looking forward to hearing what you got to say on Wednesday, and don't keep us hanging out here too long for the lessons that you give. Most appreciated.
Oh, I won't.
Yeah. So listen, Yasharel, 12 tribes. Truth is a journey, not a destination. Keep your head up. Don't compromise. This is Elder V, and we just want to say Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Okay, yeah. All right. I find it hard to say everything is alright. Don't look at me that way, like chances. But what you fail to see is all the consequences. You think our lives are cheap and easy to be wasted, as history repeats. People sleep, too comfortable to face it. His life's so incomplete, and nothing can replace it. And while the people sleep, comfortable to face.